Well, last week as we were gathered together here, we celebrated the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on Resurrection Easter Sunday. And then we've left that, and now we've come to another wonderful week, and that is as we celebrate the Lord's table together to remember what Jesus did on that last Friday through Sunday of his life that brings us to where we are here today. And one thing that happened through his sacrifice was for us to be reconciled to God. And that's why we can come to the Lord's table, is because we as born-again believers have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Because our sin has separated us from God. And it was only through Jesus Christ that those sins could be forgiven, could be dealt with, could be removed from us for us to be able to approach this table. And then once that is done, once we have been reconciled to God, then in our passage here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it tells us what then our message is and why we are to share that message with a lost world. It tells us that each one of us who are born-again believers, who have become a new creation in Christ, where old things were passed away and all things have become new, we then become ambassadors for Christ to call a people to be reconciled to God. That message has been given to all of us who are born-again believers. And that message that we are to proclaim, verse 19 of our passage here in 2 Corinthians 5 calls it the word, in verse 19, the word of reconciliation. Other places in Scripture, it's called the word of salvation, Acts chapter 13, verse 26. It's called the word of the cross, 1 Corinthians 1:18. It's called the word of life in Philippians 2:16. As ambassadors for Christ, our life and our message is to proclaim the gospel of salvation of God through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that brings eternal life to a life that is destined to hell otherwise. This passage tells us the message we are to share, and it tells us how somebody can be reconciled to God. So first of all, as we look at this, we need to look at how this reconciliation is even possible. And it tells us in verses 17 and 18 here, look at it there. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Listen, when an unbeliever becomes a believer, when a sinner has all of his sins forgiven and removed as far as the east is from the west, as Psalm 103 verse 12 says, when someone is changed and transformed by the power of God, a conversion takes place in which they then become reconciled to God, which their sins had previously separated them from him, as Isaiah 59 and verse 2 tells us. You see, we were all born separated from God because of sin, because one man's sin entered the world and death through sin, so death passed upon all men because we've all sinned and we're born separated from God. There has to be some kind of reconciliation with God, and that's only possible through Jesus Christ. And once that happens, we become a new creation. All things become new. God alone makes that possible. As we sang about this morning, our desires change. Our desire is for God and not for self. Our desires are completely different. We want to honor and glorify God. And it's a growing process for all of us because those desires we had as unbelievers were strong. So now when we come to faith in Christ, we have the power of God living within us that gives us a different kind of a desire to serve and honor and glorify God. Not only that, as a new creation, our thought processes change. We begin to look at things from a biblical perspective, from a godly perspective, and not a worldly perspective. Not only that, when we become a new creation, we begin to speak differently, or we should. In those times we used to curse and swear and say all of those different things, now we want to speak the truth. We want to speak in love. We want to speak those words that will edify one another because we're a new creation. And that extends to our actions as well. We want to do those things that are now pleasing to God because we are different than we used to be. As a born-again believer, as a new creation, we are different. You know, that's what Peter wrote about in 1 Peter 4:4 when he said, they think it's strange that you don't go with them in the same dissipation as you used to. And the reason being is you're not the same. And when you're not the same, they see that difference in you. And you don't want to hang around them like you used to, Peter says. And because of that, they start making fun of you. That's okay. That's an evidence to you that you truly are born again because your life is being changed. You are a new creation. But listen, we are helpless and powerless to save ourselves or to reconcile ourselves to God or to do anything to come to God. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, because we would boast if it were. That's what Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says. The only way reconciliation is possible is through Jesus Christ. Romans 5, verses 10 and 11 that Devin read earlier says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, will we rejoice because it was through Jesus that we received the reconciliation. Do you realize that we were enemies of God before we were reconciled to God? And that's because of our sin nature, our sinful life, that we were separated. We were enemies of God, but we were reconciled through Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, verses 19 through 22 says, for it pleased the Father that in him, talking about Christ, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. How did he do that? Having made peace through the blood of his cross, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. You see, it was through Christ and Christ alone that we can be reconciled to God. And it had to be done to make peace with God. He had to die on the cross to shed his blood. That's what we're celebrating this morning at the Lord's table. Because all of us were alienated. We were enemies of God by our wicked works. Yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh. He died on the cross to reconcile us through death. And you know what it does for us when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ? It makes us holy and blameless and above reproach in God's sight. And that's incredible when you think about that. Jesus is the only way to come to God and to be reconciled. Because he is the only way of salvation. Isn't that what Acts 4:12 says? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, but it's the name of Christ and Christ alone. That's why Jesus himself said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus alone offered the one perfect sacrifice to satisfy the judgment and justice of God for the sins of mankind that could reconcile us back to himself. That is what we're called to proclaim, because the end of verse 18 says, he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. It's a ministry that we are all as believers to be involved in because we've been commissioned by God to do that, to proclaim the word of reconciliation to a lost, dying world, whether it's your spouse or a child or a brother or sister or your boss or an employer or a total stranger. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And by the way, that word ministry, in the Greek, it's the word diakonoi. It's where we get our English word deacon from. It means we are to serve and minister and help the lost with the word of reconciliation so that they too can be reconciled to God like we were, because our sins had separated us from God, so have theirs. And we have a hope and a reason and a way in which that can be dealt with. Verse 19 says, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. The only way a person can be reconciled to God is through Jesus Christ and him, listen, not imputing their sins or their trespasses to them. That phrase, not imputing, logizomai in the Greek, and it means to not take inventory of their sin, to not count their sins against them, to not reckon their sins against them. That's how that word is used. In other words, you cannot be reconciled to God apart from every single one of your sins being forgiven and not held against you or put to your account or reckoned against you, because the wages of our sin is what? Death. So it has to be dealt with. It has to be done away with. And that's exactly what he says here. It's not imputing your sins to you. I love what Romans 4, verses 7 and 8 says. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. You see, our sins are forgiven. They're covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, and then they're not put to our account. They're going to be put to another account, as we shall see. You see, your sin and its guilt can only be removed and forgiven and not imputed to you when you put your faith and trust and belief in Jesus Christ, in his perfect sacrifice for your sin. He washed away our sin in his own blood, and through repentance and faith, then and only then can we receive that reconciliation between us and God. That is the word of reconciliation, the end of verse 19 says, that has been committed to us, committed to you and to me to share as ambassadors for Christ. That's exactly what verse 20 says here in 2 Corinthians 5. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Listen, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are sent out by Christ to share the word of reconciliation. And it says, as though God were pleading through us, that we implore people on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. Think about that. You as an ambassador for Christ, God is using you. He is pleading through you for somebody to be reconciled. You understand how incredible that is? That God would use the likes of us as his mouthpiece for us to be able to tell somebody about the truth of Jesus Christ that can save their soul? That becomes incredible. We are employing unbelievers to receive the gospel and to be reconciled. And by the way, we implore them with everything that we have. We plead with them with everything that we have. We certainly do that in prayer for the unbelievers. And as we have opportunity to share our faith, maybe not outwardly, but certainly inwardly, we are pleading, we are imploring them to hear that message that can save their soul. And one very important reason why, because we know if they do not receive that message, and when they take their last breath, they will end up in a Christless eternity and hell. And we don't want to see that. God wasn't willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that should be our desire as well. We implore them to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, and some people, even believers now, they say, well, how is this really possible? I guess I've never heard it quite like this to understand. How is it possible for God to reconcile us to himself? How can he treat me as if I have never sinned? How can a holy and righteous God who must punish sin take someone like me and make me one of his children? That's a great question. We see the answer to that in verse 21 of 2 Corinthians 5. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In order for God to reconcile us to himself, he made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. You know what that means? Jesus took our place. He was the perfect sinless sacrifice. He lived a perfect sinless life, perfectly holy and sinless in every way. And you can see that in 1 John 3, Hebrews 4, Hebrews 7, and other places I left in your notes there. He was the only perfect sacrifice that God would accept for the punishment of our sin. That's why Isaiah 53, 5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. It's like 1 Peter 2:24 says, Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you and I were healed. Look at it this way. Though Jesus never committed one sin, God treated him as if he committed every sin ever committed by every person who would ever believe, and punished him for them all. Though in reality he never committed one sin, but he became our substitute. He took our place. It should have been us on that cross dying. It should have been us being tortured because of sin, but it was him. That's why when Jesus was on the cross dying, his blood shedding from all over, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the reason God had forsaken him is because it was at that moment in time that he was taking upon himself the sin of the world. And God is of purer eyes than to behold sin. And he turned his back on his own son. He abandoned him on the cross at that very moment that he was taking on your sin and mine. That's an incredible love and sacrifice that he did. Jesus was being punished for sin and the wrath of God, not for himself, but for you and for me. He was taking our place. He was being punished in our place. That's what we remember when we come to this table. All that he had done for us. He took upon himself all of our sin and was punished and died for our sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see, an exchange took place. Christ took the punishment for our sin that we deserve, and in exchange, he gave us his righteousness that we don't deserve. We have the right standing with God because of Jesus Christ. We have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ because Jesus paid the penalty for a believer's sin. God no longer holds it against them. God, believe it or not, considers us holy and blameless and undefiled and pure and righteous as his own son, Jesus Christ, And that's where the reconciliation takes place. That's why Philippians 3:9 says, we are found in him, not having our own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. God punished Jesus as if he committed all your sins, and he's treating you and me as if we never did anything but the righteous, sinless deeds of Jesus Christ. That's an incredible love and exchange that took place on our behalf. Are we sinless? No. Are we holy? No. We try to be. Are we perfect and righteous? No. Does God treat us that way as if we are? Yes. You see, that's what reconciliation is all about. We're not holy. We're not righteous. We're not sinless, but God in his mercy and grace treats us as if we are, because he already poured out all of his wrath against my sin and your sin on his only son, Jesus Christ. And when you believe that, and when I believe that, and when we receive that, when we understand that, when we repent of our sin, when we put our faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross for our behalf, at that moment, we become reconciled to God. It happens instantaneously when he changes our heart from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. And then for us, who have become born-again believers, who have been reconciled to God, we have a message of reconciliation as ambassadors for Christ to take to a lost, dark, decaying, dying world, and imploring them to hear and believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He was seen alive, and someday he is coming back. So when we come to this table, we remember, as sinners saved by God's grace, separated from God because of our sin, that we were reconciled through the precious blood of Jesus Christ when we repented and we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ for our salvation. And then we became reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Then we come here remembering all of that which he has done for us. That's why this table is only for believers. Let's pray.